Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
ONE future surpasses methane intensity goals. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. For a sixth consecutive year, the 54 members of Our Nation's Energy Future, or ONE Future, have surpassed their methane intensity goals. In its just-issued annual report, the coalition reported aggregated data on methane emissions across its membership showed methane intensity of 0.421%, beating its 1% goal by 57.9% in 2022. The 2022 results also surpassed 2021, when members recorded methane intensity of 0.462%, besting the 1% goal by 54%. Jim Kibler, ONE Futures Executive Director, told a reporter telegram by telephone that when the 1% goal was set, the aim was to attract the early achievers and spread from there. Member companies, he said, quote, are curious about finding new ways to reduce intensity, end quote. When ONE Future started this process a decade ago, we undertook an inventory of technology across the entire value chain, Kibler continued. We set targets where we knew activity was taking place. We also knew technology would catch up, end quote. He estimated there has been a sevenfold increase in technology and processes currently being used by members. Members have performed more stack tests and tests on combustion engines, among others, to better get a handle on actual emissions, he added. ONE Future member companies are active in 5 industry segments, are found in 48 of the 50 states, and operate in 25 of the nation's 38 producing basins. Reports for 2022 methane intensity across the 5 segments compared to baseline goals. Production. The 2022 methane intensity was 0.133%, surpassing the goal of 0.283% by 53%. ONE Future member companies contributed to 23% of U.S. natural gas production in 2022. Gathering and boosting. The 2022 methane intensity was 0.077%, exceeding the segment's goal of 0.080% by 3.8%. ONE Futures member companies collected or treated 48% of U.S. natural gas in 2022. Processing. The 2022 methane intensity was 0.028%, exceeding the segment's goal of 0.111% by 74.8%. ONE Futures member companies processed 31% of U.S. natural gas in 2022. Transmission and storage. The 2022 methane intensity was 0.088%, surpassing the segment's goal of 0.301% by 70.8%. ONE Futures member companies accounted for 61% of transmission pipeline mileage across the U.S. in 2022. Distribution. The 2022 methane intensity was 0.095%, surpassing the segment's goal of 0.225% by 57.8%. ONE Futures member companies delivered 42% of the natural gas that powered the U.S. in 2022. Quote, "This is a peer-driven organization where members talk to each other," said Kibler. With the methane intensity fee included in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act set to take effect in 2024, Kibler said a focus will be on helping smaller operators meet emissions targets, offering operators a look at various technologies to find the most effective choice. Quote, "There are opportunities to help smaller operators get up to speed," he said. "Family-owned companies struggling to implement technologies have already gotten help to reduce intensity," end quote. Kibler said the coalition also practices visibility and transparency, opening up its internal data to third-party evaluators. Quote, "We have a roadmap for how third parties can investigate data and confirm findings," he said. "It's all open source. I like that because for stakeholders, they can have confidence in the report. They need to see how third parties validated the results, that they did it the same way as another third party," end quote. Permian Associated Gas leads U.S. production growth. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. U.S. crude production continues its upward trend, and it is helping bring on new supplies of natural gas as well. The U.S. Energy Information Administration recently reported that in 2022, annual production of associated natural gas associated with crude oil production, jumped 9% to 15.5 billion cubic feet per year on the major U.S. onshore oil-producing regions, mostly due to an 8% rise in crude oil production. Associated natural gas production accounted for more than one-third of total natural gas production in the Permian Basin, Eagle Ford, Niobrara, and Anadarko regions, and 14% of all U.S. natural gas production. The rising oil production in the Permian Basin is driving the growth in the nation's associated gas production. Currently, more oil is produced in the Permian region, the largest of the five major U.S. crude oil-producing regions, than in the other four regions combined. In 2022, production of crude oil increased in the Permian region by 12%. Associated natural gas production increased by 15% in the Permian region to average 10.2 billion cubic feet per day for the year, and it accounted for 56% of all U.S. associated natural gas production. Stephen Sogriff, Senior Vice President, Intelligence with the energy-focused software-as-a-service firm Enverus, told the reporter Telegram there are several factors at play in the growth of associated natural gas. Quote, "Drilled footage and wells completed are relatively flat compared to the rig count, implying improved drilling and completion efficiencies offset the reduction in rig count," he wrote. "Furthermore, there is an increase in secondary interval development Permian-wide, which are much gassier, particularly in the Delaware, driving an increase in the gas-to-oil ratios over time and more associated gas per barrel of oil produced," end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 18th, 2023. Religion. Chaplain Herget leads volunteers at MCH. Recently succeeded the late Farrell Ard by Bob Campbell. There is a lot of emotion going on in a hospital the size of Medical Center Hospital, and it is the gargantuan job of recently appointed new chaplain and director of pastoral care, Doug Herget, to deal with it and make things as good as possible for the patients and their families and friends. Following the venerable chaplain Farrell Ard, who died in April, the Reverend Herget had volunteered at MCH since 1990, and he was already quite familiar with the 200 volunteers and the 20-25-member core group of pastors who counsel those who are being treated and those who worry about them. Farrell was a great man, he said. He loved people and he was very ecumenical, the same with everybody, denominational, interdenominational. He didn't care what church you were a member of, or even if you were religious. We try to be here for everyone in their time of need. Herget is a native of Missouri, who graduated from high school in Quincy, Illinois, came to Odessa at age 17 with his family, studied at Odessa College and the University of Texas Permian Basin, and took a degree at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary in Newburgh, Indiana. He is the longtime pastor of Odessa Tabernacle Church, where he continues to pursue his extensive ministry to the homeless. Herget and his family have his wife, Cindy, and a daughter. Our volunteer chaplains are very loving and kind, just a great bunch of folks to work around, being with patients and their families to provide comfort and spiritual guidance, whatever they need, he said. They come from all around the Permian Basin, and we couldn't do what we do as well as we do it without them. MCH has 402 beds. It's not like it used to be where you could just walk in and start volunteering, Herget said. We do background checks. The volunteers fill out applications and get letters of recommendation from their home churches, signed on church letterheads by the senior leadership. We live in a more dangerous world where we have to be aware of potential active shooters because hospitals are considered soft targets. So we work very closely with hospital security. Herget said MCH is in many ways a polyglot institution with multiple languages being spoken. There are enough staff members and volunteers who are bilingual in English and Spanish to help patients and visitors who speak Spanish only. But there are also Filipino staffers who speak Tagalog and the online MARTTI, My Accessible Real-Time Trusted Interpreter system, is often employed with its ability to sound out any language in the world. We see a lot of people from different cultures and backgrounds, Herget said. Hospital President CEO Russell Tippin said Herget is the perfect successor to Ard. Chaplain Doug is synonymous with MCH, and we can't imagine this place without him, said Tippin. His dedication to our patients and their families is second to none. Doug is here at all times, day or night, to make sure every single patient and family is prayed for and taken care of in their times of need. He is the selfless and spiritual leader that every health system yearns to have. Do Your Best to Reconcile with Others, by Reverend John Carlo Villatoro, founding pastor of Victory Church, Odessa. There are moments in life when you just don't know what to do with your relationships. Life can be so confusing on occasion because of the sufferings we all live. Sometimes those sufferings are the result of injustice in this world, like right now, as we see in this world in the Middle East. Sometimes the sufferings come as a result of accidents, illnesses, even wrongdoings intentionally executed by evildoers or hurting others. Sometimes the sufferings are the result of death, divorce. Suffering in life is real. When we go through all those sufferings, we say things that might hurt others deeply. We can become cruel because when we are hurting, sometimes we explode. Eventually, we all calm down, and that is when we have the opportunity to think about what is going on. It is precisely during those moments when you need to remember the words from our Lord Jesus, who told us to search for reconciliation in one another. It's up to you when the time comes, whether it's because you need to go and ask for forgiveness or whether you are going to be willing to forgive when someone asks you for forgiveness. The truth is that in the eyes of the Lord, it really doesn't matter whose fault it is. The challenge is that our good Lord is always expecting our willingness to reconcile. Do your best to reconcile with others. If you need to say you're sorry, do so. And if you need to forgive, then do it. Reconciliation is needed for our own souls. That is how we please God.
Gardening. Seeds. Save them. It's worth it. This was written by Sarah Moran, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Horticulture Agent for Midland and Ector Counties. Any time is a good time to save seeds. Seed savings is a sustainable agricultural practice vital to human food production for thousands of years. Seed saving is collecting, storing, and replanting seeds from plants to grow new crops in subsequent growing seasons. I attended a seed school workshop in Denver, Colorado, by Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance a few years ago. The workshop lasted about a week, and it was enlightening. Since then, I have not stopped saving my seeds, but why save seeds? Here are some key points. 1. Preservation of genetic diversity. By saving seeds from plants that have performed well in a specific environment, gardeners can preserve and potentially enhance the genetic diversity of crops. 2. Adaptation to local conditions. Over time, saved seeds can adapt to specific conditions, soil types, climate, pests of the location where they are grown, leading to better crop performance. 3. Cost savings. Seed saving can reduce the cost of purchasing new seeds yearly. One plant can produce enough seeds for you and share. 4. Sustainability. Seed saving is environmentally friendly because it reduces the energy and resources required to produce, package, and distribute commercial seeds. 5. Cultural and traditional practices. Seed saving has cultural and historical significance in many societies. It's a way of passing down knowledge from one generation to the next. Please note that some seed varieties, such as plant patents, are protected by intellectual property laws, which may restrict and prohibit seed saving and distribution. Always, always read the seed catalog carefully. The information provided will indicate whether a seed is an intellectual property. Consider the following aspects when starting to save your seeds. 1. Plant selection. Choose healthy and vigorous plants with the traits you want to preserve: color, size, flavor, texture, pest resistance, etc. Select open-pollinated or heirloom varieties, since seeds from hybrid plants may not produce offspring with the same characteristics. 2. Pollination. Understand the pollination method of the plant, such as self-pollinating, cross-pollinating, as this affects the isolation requirements to prevent unwanted crossbreeding. 3. Isolation. To avoid cross-pollination between different plant varieties, you may need to separate them physically. For example, plant seedings at a certain distance from each other. You can also use barriers like nets or paper bags to isolate the flower only. Another option is to time planting so they don't flower simultaneously. 4. Harvesting. Allow the seeds to ripen and mature before harvesting. Leave the fruits or flowers on the plant longer than you would for consumption or harvest. 5. Drying. Ensure the seeds are thoroughly dried to prevent mold and spoilage. Proper airflow and low humidity are essential during this stage. 6. Cleaning. Remove seeds from the plant and clean them of plant debris. It is usually done by hand and with the help of tools. After crumbling the dry pods or husks, screening and winnowing are some methods to clean seeds. 7. Storage. Store seeds in a cool, dark, and dry place. Airtight containers like glass jars with desiccants can help extend their viability. Coin envelopes are also a good alternative. 8. Labeling. Always label your saved seeds with the plant variety, harvest date, and other pertinent information. 9. Viability testing. Over time, the viability of seeds can decrease. Periodically test a small sample to check if they can still germinate. You can find the seed viability test method online with step-by-step details. Seed saving is a valuable practice for gardeners. It plays a role in biodiversity conservation and can be essential to sustainable and resilient food systems. Additionally, it allows individuals to take more control over their food production and adapt to local growing conditions. Give it a try. Save some seeds. It's worth it. If you have questions or want more information, contact your Texas A&M County Extension Office in Midland at 432-686-4700 and Ector County at 432-498-4071. You can also send an email to sarah.moran@ag.tamu.edu. Master Gardeners, Christmas Gifts for Gardeners. This was written by Debbie Rowland and Emmy Ulmschneider, Master Gardeners. We know that it isn't Thanksgiving yet, but there are only a few weekends left until Christmas. Here we go, our Christmas gift picks for 2023. Gardeners can't have enough gardening equipment, so equipment-based gifts first. Gardening stool and kneeler. Debbie's personal favorite, it doubles as a kneeler with handles to get back up or flip it over, and it is a handy bench. Both sides are padded, which is wonderful for older knees. Potting table. Lots of places sell these, and they are widely available online. I, that is Debbie, made mine out of an early 1900s double enamel sink with built-in drains on each side. I put it over a 5-gallon bucket. As I mix potting soil with organic additions, water fills the bucket. I add that to one of my raised beds. Mine, Emmy, which gave up the ghost after 30 years, was attached to a hose bib and the sink drained into a garden. Having water at a potting table is a plus. You can rinse off produce or tools before bringing them into the house or putting them away. Food dehydrator. Most gardeners in West Texas grow tomatoes and some kind of peppers. A dehydrator might let them enjoy the feast even in the winter. There are many types of electric food dehydrators. For our climate, I, that is Emmy, was interested in a solar dehydrator. My first one was a modified cardboard box which lasted until the first major rain. For over 10 years, I have used a solar food dehydrator which I hang outside. All my excess produce from A to Z, apples to zucchini, goes into the dehydrator. I love the dried figs and raisins and the texture that dehydrated vegetables bring to a dish. And if you want an outside gift, try these suggestions. Binoculars and hand lens. To get the most out of your garden, you also need tools for your eyes. Binoculars help you see at a distance, while hand lenses help you see close. What kind of binoculars are best depends on what you want to see, so you need to do your homework to make the best choice. If you are interested in birds or butterflies, here are two good places to start: the Audubon Society and North American Butterfly Association, or NABA. Both have published their recommendations. But what if you want to observe close up? If you want to read small print on bottles or seed packets, try a magnifying glass. If you want to get a close look at the life in your yard, get a hand lens. Hand lenses, also called loupes, are an indispensable tool to identify and observe the small life around you. But, like binoculars, not all hand lenses are the same. So once again, do your homework before you buy. Bird baths. Bird baths are not just for birds. Think of a bird bath as a break room for all that lives in your backyard, a place to go for a refreshing drink or rejuvenating bath. And traditional bird baths are not the best way to provide water for birds. Birds need shallow water sources. A bird bath can be as simple as letting a milk jug with a small hole drip into a shallow container. Whatever kind of bird bath you choose, it must be kept clean. If you want to attract butterflies or other pollinators, try making a puddling station which provides water and moisture in a way they can use. There are many resources online to help you decide what you need and what to buy. So give your gardening loved ones a gift they'll enjoy and enhances their gardening passion. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information and our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.